Say, Joe.
Huh? Oh, Mr. Harris. Want a cab? I was just getting ready.
Sit back in your seat, Joe. I just wanted to see if you knew about it.
About what?
The lynching.
Oh, I heard some guys kidding around.
The kidding's over. The lynching's on.
When?
Oh, in a few hours, about nightfall, I reckon.
Gee.
You're going to join the boys, aren't you?
I don't exactly know, Mr. Harris. You see, Sis is sick in bed, and I ought to stay home.
Every
with her
true white man here in Gainesville is going to be in on
well,
it.
Well, she, my sister, I mean, gets awfully nervous when she's home alone.
Joe, I said that every real white man's going to come out. What's your color, kid?
I'll be there, Mr. Harris. I'll be there.
Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, is brought to you by Station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. This week and the following one, Destination Freedom will bring you two special programs bearing directly upon one of the most pressing problems in American society, race prejudice. In today's chapter entitled A Garage in Gainesville, Destination Freedom analyzes the forces of prejudice and mob violence in a small southern town. A great historian once wrote, "The method of force which hides itself in secrecy is a method as old as humanity. The kind of thing that men are afraid or ashamed to do openly and by day they accomplish secretly, masked and at night. They use fear to cast out fear, hesitate at no outrages of maiming or murder. And those who want certain things done by brute force can often depend upon the mob, because before the wide eyes of the mob is the shape of fear. Back of the writhing, yelling mobs who break, destroy, maim, and lynch and burn at the stake is a knot. A nucleus, large or small, of normal human beings, ordinary men that continually give the mob its initial and awful impetus. And inside this inner nucleus is also fear. Fear of losing jobs, of being declassed, degraded, or scorned. And around this nucleus gather snowball-wise all manner of flotsam and human garbage, filth, and every lewdness and current fashion."
Jack Harris. What's he picking on me for? What have I got to do with the lynching? Oh, what poor colored boy they got it in for now. I'm going to stay out of it. Don't want any part of it. All I want is to get that garage set up with Buddy and get Sis a good doctor. Yeah, lynching tonight. Who's it going to be? Hey, gee, my gas is low. Turn in here, Pops. Get a few gallons.
How's business, young fella?
Hey, where's everybody hiding today? Give me 10 high tests, Pop.
All right, 10 she'll be. Hey, you ought to pick up a whole lot of folks a little later on in the evening.
Going where?
To the mansion. You hear about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard.
Understand some of the boys in the clan think the law's a little slow in catching up with the fella.
What fella?
One Skeelty, of course.
Well, who's that?
One who assaulted Jack Harris's gal. Hey, you mean you didn't know about Maybelle?
Oh, I know about Maybelle. She lives right up across the street from me.
Well, then you should have heard. Says she was assaulted a little after 6 the day before yesterday evening. Where you been, Joe? Well,
Papa been so busy scraping up money to get that garage going, I haven't had time.
Joe, I don't understand you. All you think about is getting that garage set up with the Negro boy.
Papa, I think it's 10 gallons.
Yeah, sure is. Check your oil?
Yeah, sure, but hurry, will you?
Okay. You need about 2 quarts.
Put it in.
So you're mighty anxious to get that garage set up, spite of what Harris thinks, huh?
We can't worry about Harris.
No, guess not. You and that Negro boy, what's his name, Buddy, about the best mechanics in the county. When you get together, with you pulling in all the white trade and him pulling in all the colored trade, Harris going to have a hard time keeping his garage going. Ever thought of that?
Yep.
Ain't much I don't hear about the station.
Did you hear...
What?
About the lynching. Who's it going to be?
Oh, one of them uppity niggers over in the colored section.
Who?
I don't know yet. You going?
No. Buddy and I got to work on that garage.
You ever been at a lynching?
No.
I have.
Yeah?
I owned it 20 years ago. I was in Coffee County selling a good book. Got thrown in with the mob when they was on their way to the jail. The sheriff had ducked out and left the keys. They sent somebody in to get the prisoner, and the whole mob pushed in. Tore up the jail, drug him out, tied him to an automobile, pulled him through the street. And they got him out near a tree. But then the whole county knew what was to happen. It was like a holiday, son. Women got their children out of bed and brought them down to sea. Somebody threw gasoline on the prisoner and they touched it off like a torch. When it was all over, it was a good deal of scrambling for souvenirs. If they take this one out of town, you ought to do pretty good with that cab of yours tonight.
I don't want to pick up anybody going there. Will you put down that hood and let me get going?
All right. Don't bite the ear off. Bite the ears off of some of these thugs who are waiting for 6 o'clock to come. Yeah, in about 4 hours.
Why does he have to tell me all that? What's he got in mind? All I want to do is mind my own business. Where's Buddy? I suppose he's at the garage. I want to drive by and tell him to play it safe tonight. Wonder who it's going to be. See where the ride is today. 2:10, and I haven't picked up a soul. Hey, those guys on the corner. Just come out of that tavern, waving at me.
Yeah,
they see me. Yeah, one's drunk. Wonder if he'll be in any trouble. Maybe I ought to keep going. Oh, but I ain't had a fare all day. Can't find no garage that way.
All right, you guys. What's the matter, cabby? You're blind in one eye and can't see out the other?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Mr. Kane.
Say, Kane. Is this guy a friend of yours, huh?
I know all cab drivers. I've arrested enough of them.
Yeah, that's when you're a cop. You ain't no cop now, though. Remember that? He kicked you off.
Will you shut this guy up, Meeks, and get him in the cab? Hey,
sure, Kane. Come on, Pilch.
Carter. Come on, now. Here.
Come on, there, man.
Come on.
Where to, Mr. Kane?
Straight down Peachtree Street. What's your address, Meeks?
1224.
Yes, sir.
Now, get this, you guys. Now, we won't have to be bothered about no sheriff. But there'll be trouble aplenty from the Negro neighborhood soon as we try to break in there to get him.
But didn't Harris say we don't have to go into the colored neighborhood? Get him when he comes out. Harris had his schedule.
Sure, if the guy follows that schedule, all right. But if it doesn't...
Say, driver, you pass the house. Stop eavesdropping. Watch your business.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the house. It's just back here.
Here now.
All right, Meeks. Hurry back.
Okay, Kane.
Little cab driver's been eavesdropping.
He'll stop ribbing the kid. He's okay. He used to be one of the boys, didn't you, kid? Surprised I'd know that, huh? Me be the next cop? You know, I was in the Klan, too, at that time. I remember you. I can't say as I've seen you around in a while, though.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Kane, I sort of dropped out.
Any differences of opinion?
Well, I never had any difference with the boys, Mr. Kane. I just left to, go into business. Didn't have time.
I understand. You know about tonight's affair, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Harris told me.
You see, he knows Harris, Pilch.
Yeah,
move over. Please come back. You got a meat?
What do you think I got? Fishing poles? 3 Winchesters, 2 Smith & Wessons, 1 Remington.
Give me the Winchester.
Now, you wait, will you, Pilch? Yeah, how about the bullets?
We need some.
What time is it?
Nearly 4:30.
Make it to the hardware store before 5, kid. You know where Del's hardware is?
Corner Main and State.
Make it there. Step on it. Now, like I said, got to keep this thing quiet until Harris puts the finger on it. Harris knows where the Negro will be practically any part of the day.
Yeah, I got it right here, King. Let's see. At 12 in the morning, he's at his mother's restaurant down in the colored section for lunch. He drives a cab around that section for a few hours, hangs around the railroad station. Then he usually goes over to this here garage over on
to
Creek
the garage?
Green Street, stays there, and
who
comes
are they
back
talking
about
6
to his old lady's restaurant for dinner again. Then he goes back to
the garage
and
fiddles
around there till after nightfall. That's where we
spotted. Who stays in the garage until nightfall?
By nightfall, we ought to have enough guys
Buddy.
To pull it off.
Oh, they can't be talking about Buddy, not Buddy. Oh, he ain't done a thing, I know.
I know all that. Now, don't school me. Say, who's supposed to track this guy around while he's going through this routine?
Pilch?
Ah, Pilch couldn't keep track of a white elephant.
Yes,
so how's about Carter?
I sight a track of nigger I never seen before. Don't know his name even.
Name's Buddy, Buddy Clark. He and some white scalaway been running around together, setting up a garage.
Hey, wait a minute. What's going on here?
What are you trying to do? Run off the sidewalk?
I'm sorry. I almost drove past the store.
Watch it.
Yeah.
All right, Meeks. Hustle in.
Gee, can't tell me you guys do the legwork, but...
Where'd you get your nervousness, kid?
Oh, I guess I picked it out of the air, Mr. Kane. Sorry.
Don't mind me. I'm ribbing you. You know, it's a kind of a day to get excited about. You gotta hustle this while the fun's on. Only got about 2 hours before the fun begins, anyhow.
2 hours?
How'd you come out, Meek?
Okay, $6 of cartridges, 2 Winchesters, 38 for the Smiths, and... Here, you better hold this up in front in your seat, cabby.
Rope? What's all the rope for?
Now, kid, wouldn't be a lynching without rope, would it? Say, let us off at Ted's Tavern. Come on, step on.
You guys sure you got the right man?
You bet. The Globe ain't exactly the kind of paper this town needs, but the editor always goes our way unless some of those Negro lovers put pressure on him. You should read the story about it. Hey, step on, kid. Only got 2 hours.
2 hours? Oh, Lord, 2 hours. Buddy, where's Buddy? Gotta get to him. No, get to the police. No, they might be with the Klan, too. Get to the newspaper. Tell them where we were day before yesterday, between 6 and 7, in the garage. Oh, Lord, where's Buddy? Well, here's Ted's Tavern. Gee, there's a crowd around it already, waiting for somebody to lead them on.
All right, you guys. Come on, pile out.
I'll go after you.
What's the bill, kid?
Well, that'll be a $6.75, Mr. Kane.
I'm all out. Hey, Pilch, you got anything?
No, hey, guys.
Meeks?
I busted myself in the hardware store.
Sorry, kid.
Sorry? I can't buy gas without I'm sorry. I've been driving around for 2 solid hours on my own. I can't do nothing without...
No, you can't do nothing with a hole in your head either.
Put that gun down, Pilch.
I'm sick of his yapping. We spent our last penny to help protect his lily white hide from the niggers and to make white supremacy a living fact, and he asked for a lousy fare.
I said cut it, Pilch.
Well, I don't like it.
Kid, see Harris, the garage owner, sometime. He might make it up to you. Or else, just consider this your dues to the Klan. Drive on.
Drive on. Drive where? Where's Buddy? How long have I got? Where is he? What's he doing? Hey, what about the editor? Maybe if I saw him, he's got influence with Harris, the mayor, governor, everybody. If I told him... Yeah, that's it. Go see editor King. You'll know what to do.
Mr. Casey, I'm sorry to break in like this, but I wanted you to know about the lynching they're planning.
Take it easy. Get your breath, kid. You're going to say there's going to be a lynching at about 6 o'clock, and you're one of the kind of people in Gainesville who don't want to stand around while murder's going on.
You knew about it?
I get the news.
Well, they're going after Buddy. Buddy Clark, my partner, for assault, and he couldn't have done it.
Why not?
But we are together all the time, and I can prove it. That story you printed was a lie.
You never jumped out of your skin to speak out and tell me or anybody else the paper was lying when I first printed the story.
Oh, I didn't know.
You knew these guys were agitating against the colored folks down the section. You knew there was plenty of prejudice in this town, but you never got up the nerve to open your yap and talk against it until now, when you're going to lose your shirt, your partner. I'm sorry, kid. I didn't mean to beef at you like this. I know what's going on. Fellas like you should have wakened up a long time ago. You don't stop a lynching when the bullets start flying. You stop it when the wild rumors are flying. I'm sorry, kid. I'm doing all I can, and that's not much. Do what you can. Get Maybelle. Get her to tell the mob it isn't so. I'll work on the governor. Now you get out of here. It's
4:30, and you'll have to hurry.
Oh, please, please, Maybell, be home.
Yale? Who is it?
Me, Joe Emerson.
Oh, all right, Joe. Can't you wait till I get the safety latch off? Well, little Joe taking time off from driving to come over and see little old me. Well, what's the matter?
May, look, you never told me anything about you and Buddy.
Because there's never been anything about me and Buddy.
You know what I'm talking about. They say you said he assaulted you day before yesterday between 6 and 7. It was in the papers.
Oh, there. Well, sit down if you want to talk.
May, what about it?
Well, I didn't say it was Buddy.
Who did you say?
I don't know what I said. Some character came in through the window day before yesterday. I screamed. Nothing happened. He ran out. That was all there was to it. I was nervous. I called Harris. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he came over and said we ought to report to the police. Said he suspected it might be somebody like Buddy.
What did you say?
Me? Nothing. How'd I know who it was? Harris seemed to know.
Well, then why didn't you tell Harris that? Tell him good. Tell everybody so they'll know. Tell him out loud.
Don't shout at me.
Look, May, they're out there looking for Buddy, a mob. In about 2 hours, Harris and his gang are going to pin it on Buddy and they're going to lynch him.
They wouldn't do that.
They will do it. Tell him it wasn't him. Tell the guys around Ted's Tavern it wasn't him. Tell the editor of the Globe it wasn't him. May, what are you waiting for?
I can't go out there, Joe.
Why not?
The boys. They said to me to stay inside. And if I didn't, there'd be trouble. They said they'd take care of everything.
Well, you see what they're taking care of.
I know. But I'm scared, Joe. I can't. You don't know. You got your garage and your cab. But me, I ain't got nothing. All I got's just a little old job. I'm working for Harris Garage, remember?
Remember? It's going on 6 o'clock, and Buddy's coming into his mother's restaurant. Eating dinner, getting ready to go to the garage. Oh, keep him out of that garage. Get to, Buddy. Yeah, I'll drive out to the Negro section. No, there's no time. I'll call him at his mother's restaurant. There's a phone in the drugstore on the corner. 6 o'clock. Buddy should be into the restaurant now. What's the number? What's that number? Lord, let him still be there. Keep him away from the garage this time. Lord, don't let the line be busy.
Number, please.
1477, operator.
1477. I'll try that number.
She's ringing. Mrs. Clark, someone answer it. Please answer it. Well, it must be busy in the restaurant. Why don't they answer it? Why?
Shall I keep on ringing, sir?
Yeah, go on.
Yes, sir.
Why doesn't someone answer? Why did they pick Buddy? Why did Harris say it was Buddy? Hardly knew Buddy. Hey, was it because of that garage? That afternoon in the garage when Buddy and I were working on an old car some farmer sent in to be fixed. I remember. That was it. I was working on the car, and Harris came in.
Is this the new Gainesville garage I hear going up?
Oh, Mr. Harris. Well, we haven't really opened up yet.
No, I see you haven't. Place still looks like the old mill it used to be. You're silly not to come to work for me, boy. See you even taking in that old car one of the farmers tried to get my garage to fix.
Yeah, but then I thought we'd give it the once-over.
I advised the fella to buy a new motor from me.
Well, Buddy didn't think so.
Who's Buddy?
Well, my partner. Hey, Buddy.
I'm coming.
Hey, Buddy, I want you to...
Hey, wait a minute, look. I see what's wrong with this old crate. Hey, try this new continuity test.
Yeah?
Yeah, use them in the army to find shorts and almost anything. Now, if it buzzes, I found a short somewhere. Dog, that's it. A short here in the coil primary release.
Hey, you sure?
That buzzer don't lie. Hey, give me a piece of tape. I'll screw the wires together like this. All right, here. Now, step on the starter. Yeah. Something ought to happen.
Hey,
Hey, that's it.
That's right. Whoever said this crate couldn't be fixed was a perfect fool.
Were you referring to me, black boy?
Oh, I want you to meet...
I'm asking him a question. I said, were you calling me a fool?
Did you say this crate couldn't be fixed?
Yeah.
Well, listen to that motor and tell me what you think you are.
Why, you... Where I come from, we usually take care of nigger boys like you. Got too much mouth?
How?
With my fist, if necessary.
Go on. Try it.
Joe, you gonna stand here and let this nigger insult me? Joe, you lost your head.
Right. I ain't in the argument, Mr. Harris. I didn't fix the car, but he did.
All right. But I'm not forgetting this, Joe Emerson. You and your nigger friend ain't heard the last of this.
Any more to say? Say it now, Mr. Harris.
There's more than me who have something to say about you scalawags and scoundrels setting up a rump garage in this part of town. There'll be a whole lot who'll have something to say about it. I'll see to it.
I remember. That was it. I remember the evening. We cleaned up the garage, put a top on the old sewer to make the floor look even. Got through early. And went over to his mother's restaurant to eat.
Hey, Ma, look who I brought to eat again.
Joe's always welcome. You know it. Your boys could wash up, though.
No, I won't do no good, Ma. We're going back to the garage and get dirty again. Over here, Joe.
Yeah. How's the garage coming, boys?
Oh, good.
How good?
Now, Ma, look, don't start worrying again as to whether folks will patronize us or poison us. Enough people around here has been asking for some competition in Harris Place, and so...
We're giving it to him. Hey, you should have been there today. Why was he mad?
Yeah?
Yeah, Buddy taught him a lesson. Hey, go on, Buddy, tell him.
Well, I guess Harris don't like the idea of Joe and me being in business together. Anyhow, we're sticking. Unless Joe wants out.
Me? Hey, guy, I put every penny I saved from 4 years in the Army in that old mill. You scared?
Well, me?
You, Mrs. Clark? What do you think?
I say, it's not too many like you two around in Gainesville. We need a whole lot more. So, sort of look out after each other, will you?
Sure.
Look out, she said. I remember. Oh, Lord. Lord, where's Buddy now? Where's Buddy?
Shall I keep on ringing?
Yeah, please.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Clark. Is Buddy there?
Who wants to speak to
him? It's me, Joe Emerson.
Joe? Well, Buddy's gone to the garage.
Yes?
Why, Joe? What's the matter?
Never mind. I'll see you later. I gotta head him off. I gotta stop him. Hey! Hey, they're shooting at me! My tire's hit.
Hold up there! Stop that car and get out!
Hey, well, look, I'm Joe...
I said get out of there!
Mr. Kane, it's me, Joe Emerson.
You the guy who ran this garage with Clark?
Yeah, where is he? He ain't guilty, I tell you,
Shut up. Come on over here. Hey, Harris, here he is.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been trying to get to that nigger friend of yours.
Now listen, you guys. He's not guilty, I know. I talked with Maybell. Harris just wants to...
Shut your fool mouth.
Don't...
Look, you want to live through tonight? A word from me and your neck's broken. Now, I want you up here so you can save your dirty face.
I don't want any part of this.
Will you listen? Only one way to get into that garage, and that's through the front. That nigger's got a rifle, and he's shooting straight. We can't stand around here until morning. You know that garage better than anybody. Some of them windows he can see through, some he can't. You know which. I'm giving you a chance to clear yourself. Lead the way, crawl up there, and get this torch.
I won't do it!
You will if you want to see daybreak. Hey, duck down. He's shooting. He can stand us off a long time if we don't charge him.
How long? How long can Buddy last? How long? What can I do? Can I help him? If I could get in, maybe. Maybe if I told Harris. Harris!
You made up your mind?
I'll try to get him for you.
Don't trust the scalawag, Harris.
I'll chance it. Now light this torch when you get in there. Keep your head down and smoke him out. We'll cover you. Go on.
Keep down. I'm going. Oh, Buddy, do you see me? Where? Which window? Must be... Yeah, it's got to be the top window. If I can get to the bottom window, open it, and get inside. Now. Buddy. Oh, Buddy.
Hey, Buddy, don't! It's me! Stop it! It's Joe, Buddy!
What do you want?
Don't you know me?
They sent you in after me. I could hear them.
No, no. I wanted to help get you out of here. I told them I'd fire the place, but I just want to help you get out of here.
There ain't no way out, and I'm not running.
You don't know what they want you for,
buddy. I know. I've known all my life. The guys who got this rolling don't care who's guilty. What they want is to cut my throat and parade my remains around to scare guys like you and me from getting together and showing them up. But I ain't running.
You got to. Get out of here.
I told you, ain't no way.
Look, buddy, let's try together. If we can get that sewer top open, we can go down in it. It comes up on Green Street. Now, you keep your eyes on the door. I'll try to lift it. Buddy, I can't.
Here, I'll help you.
Yeah, come on. There we go. Hey, buddy, hey, they're coming in.
Joe, I'm hit.
Buddy, get up.
Get away from him, you. I'll crack your head.
You got him?
Yeah. Kid tried to double cross us like you thought he would. Shall I finish him?
And let white boy lay. Drag this nigger boy out of here and give him to the guys. Get on.
You gonna leave this scalawag here?
Leave him lay there on his belly. He's knocked out, ain't he? When he wakes up, he'll crawl off and blow town. Get that rope and come on before somebody interferes.
Buddy. Hey, buddy. Where are you, buddy?
Take it easy, kid. Take it easy. They're gone. How are you?
Casey?
Yeah, easy. They're gone.
What happened to all that help you're going to get? What happened?
It's coming. It's late, but it's coming, kid. Too late to help your partner, but I've got a car for you. I can get you out of town.
I'm not leaving town.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're out of town, start again somewhere else, kid. You're young.
I was young this morning. I'm blind. I ain't young no more. But blind to how guys like this Harris use this prejudice stuff. Like a blindfold over a lot of folks' eyes while they pick their pockets. Pick off another guy's right to a living, and then they pick away at yourn. Picked off this little old garage we've been working for. All I got's a cab.
Come on, kid. Forget the town. Forget the town for a while. Forget the cab.
I ain't forgetting. I'm not leaving. Because I'm not really scared anymore. I guess I've been scared of these white supremacy guys all my life. Because I thought being white was right. I thought I'd be alone if I had to buck those guys who shot all that bull about race supremacy. Well, Buddy's gone. But like you say, there's a lot of buddies, black and white, who won't be blowing town either. I'll find them. And there's gonna be a new garage in Gainesville. That's been my trouble. I just never looked them up before. I've been driving by them all the time. Well, I'm picking them all up now.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's A Garage in Gainesville, the first section of a two-week series bearing directly upon the pressing issue of racial bigotry in our society. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham with Bob Gilbert as program consultant, produced under the direction of Homer Heck. The role of Joe was played by Russ Reed. Fred Pinkard played the part of Buddy. Others were Dee Monquist, Ken Griffin, Janice Kingslow, Jess Pugh, and Weslyn Tilden. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. Sound technicians were Cliff Mueller and Dave Squires. Control operator was Gary DeVlieg. This is George Kluge inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will bring you the last in this special series, Dealing with Prejudice. You are tuned for the stars on NBC.